Romans chapter 8. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word, and particularly for this glorious truth this morning, that to we who are in Your Son, there is no wrath, there is no guilt, there is no condemnation, there is no sin. Thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and did what we could not, and saved us from ourselves, from our sins, and from the very law of our God. Saved us from wrath. Thank You for Him, and may we walk in Him by Your grace. In His name we ask. Amen. No condemnation. The beauty and light of this verse is seen best in the context of Romans chapter 7. No condemnation. Unable to do even the good that because of that new birth we talked about this morning we want to do, we desire to do, but unable even to do that. And we don't desire to do good all that much. Let's be honest with ourselves. But even what we do desire, we can't do it. We don't half know what it is. By His grace we do have spiritual discernment, but we can't do what we want to. The new nature, desiring to refrain from sin, not wanting to dishonor our Lord, and yet so wicked, so poisoned are we, so undone that we can't help but commit the vilest evil with our hearts and with our hands and with our proud lips, reduced to self-proclaimed wretchedness. The last thing Paul said is, what a wretch I am. What a wretch. And yet no condemnation. You see, this is a wretch that cries from this pit of helplessness and despair. Despair of self. And cries for a Savior. And cries for a Savior to the Savior. And rejoices that through our Lord Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. We are the woman caught in the very act of adultery. And clearly sentenced to hell by the law. And yet, the one whose law we transgressed says to us, I do not condemn thee. I do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How? How no condemnation? Well, Paul answered it, as I said, in chapter 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I live in a corpse. Are you getting sick of that? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, delivered and not condemned, by taking our condemnation upon himself, Barabbas went free because the Lord Jesus Christ took the cross that he would have hung upon. We go free, uncondemned, because Christ took our place under the wrath of God and for our sin and gave us his place in the favor and blessing of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And having just declared that it is through Christ Jesus that the wretched are delivered, Paul here proclaims that there's no condemnation to them, but there is a certain specific them he speaks of. There's no condemnation to them. Who? Them which are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus is to be represented by him. As it says in the word, as in Adam all died, because they were represented by Adam. And so in Christ all are made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. That is, all whom he represented as their federal head, as their last Adam. That is the sense in which Christ is an Adam. He represented his people. He prayed for them. He interceded for them. He taught them. He said, I gave you ears to hear. I didn't give it to them. I gave them to you. He did everything for them. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I pray not for the world. I pray for them. Them who are in Christ Jesus, who are given to Christ by the Father in the eternal covenant of grace. He represents his sheep. Adam represented all of mankind, and in Adam all died because of that representation. And Christ represents his people, his spiritual Israel, and every one of them shall be freed from sin, made righteous because he bore their sin and imputed his righteousness to them. Because he himself became our righteousness. His name is the Lord, our righteousness. And now these two glorious words are mine. No condemnation. It doesn't say there that there is no condemnation to them which walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Our walk doesn't earn us freedom from condemnation. It says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's our righteousness. There's our justification. And by the way, we walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. The order here is very important. Not just by the way, but you see the order. It's very important. And they're further described that way. But the ones who have no condemnation are those in Christ. Our non-condemnation is a result of what he did, not what we do. What we've done is what brought condemnation to begin with upon our heads. By nature, we're the children of wrath. And we can do nothing to change or even help that. Not even a little bit. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Our walk after the Spirit is a result of salvation, not the cause of it. In chapter 7, we have these two natures identified which are in every believer. One is called sin that dwelleth in me. Paul talked about sin that dwelleth in me in verse 20, I believe. The other is described as wanting to do good and as not having done the evil that the other does. If I sin, it's not me, but the sin that dwelleth in me. It's not the me that loves the law. It's the old me, Still me. It's a different me. There's two me's. If you can read Romans chapter 7 and say that there are not two Apostle Pauls, then you have to conclude that he's a schizophrenic and don't listen to anything he says. There's actually two Pauls. That's the truth of it. One is said to serve the law of God, and the other, the law of sin. Here they are called in Romans 8, he's the same context, now they're called flesh and spirit. Same two natures. And those who walk after the Spirit are not sinless because they're still also flesh. Our flesh is still just as wicked as ever it was and always will be. It never improves. Those who deny the existence of the new nature are forced to attribute worship, love for God, good works, which the Scriptures clearly say we're ordained to. They have to attribute those things to an improved flesh of some kind. An influenced flesh. But that's just an example of one error leading to another. We are still flesh, and with that flesh, we still serve the law of sin, chapter 7, verse 25. But thank God, we walk after the Spirit. We do love God, though because of the flesh, we don't love Him as He's worthy to be loved. We still rebelling against Him in our wicked hearts. We acknowledge our sin. We worship God, but our flesh hinders us. How clearly our Lord showed that in the Garden of Gethsemane. The flesh is willing, although the Spirit is willing, but because of your flesh, you can't even watch with me for an hour. You want to, but the things that you would do, you find not how to perform them. Peter and James and John, just like Paul in this chapter. We acknowledge our sin by His grace, but we also praise Him who hath made us free. And we do believe on Him. I believe, but help mine unbelief. There's flesh and spirit right there. In the spirit, I believe. In the flesh, the Lord's going to have to do something about my unbelief in me. I pray He'd be pleased to. But he that believeth on Him, even he that believeth and still is full of unbelief. Because everyone that believeth on Him is still full of unbelief. But he that believeth on Him is not condemned, John 3:18. No condemnation. Bless God. Free. So let's look at verse 2. Free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, Paul makes clear reference here to those two laws that he refers to in chapter 7. Again, he said in verse 21 in chapter 7, and I didn't read that whole chapter, but even if I had, we would have already forgotten specific verses. So let me point them out to you. Verse 21, he said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, another law. There can't be another one unless there's more than one. There's two, and one of them delights in God's law, but there's another one warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Two laws, two natures, flesh and spirit. There in chapter 7, he speaks of captivity. But here in our verse 8:2, freedom. And again, this can only be understood of the two natures, the two me's, because I am both bound and free. Flesh and the Spirit war one against the other. We do not walk after the flesh, verse 4 of chapter 8, but the flesh is captive to the law sin. The old me is a slave to sin. He said in there in chapter 7 also, I am carnal, sold under sin. I am captive. Captivity to the law of sin. But the new me, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, is free. I'm free. And this is why Paul speaks of both being captive and free. How can you be both? Because there's two me's. One of me is a prisoner. And one is not. But there's no condemnation to me. And it's not a war between the two in the sense that there's any doubt as to the outcome of it. The old me is condemned and is going to die. But the new me is not. But which one is really me under God? There's really just one me to God. That's why he says, I look at you and I don't see any sin in you. There's just one me to him. And it's Christ that liveth in me. Free. The Son has made me free, and I'm free indeed. As an individual in this world, in this body of death, the body of this death, I'm not free from the presence of sin. You know that. You don't even know me very well, but you know that, don't you, about me? Because my old fleshly nature is bound by sin. But being in Christ Jesus, verse 1, I am free from the penalty of sin. That is, what there is therefore now no condemnation means. Condemnation is the penalty of sin, the condemnation and wrath of God. No consequences for my sin. That's freedom. That's real freedom there. No consequences for my sin. Well, what about, Chris, when we do something bad and then, you know, something bad happens to us? Well, you know, sometimes that's the Lord correcting us. He's not punishing you for your sin. If we had any idea what our sin deserved, we would know that. Well, that's the Lord punishing me for my sin. Oh, you have way too light of the thought of what your sin deserves. Oh no, he didn't do that yet. And he ain't gonna if you're in Christ Jesus. He ain't about to. No consequences for sin. And we know why there's no condemnation, because there's no guilt. We are free from the guilt of sin. Romans 3:24, justified freely. Justified means not guilty, and this is the only way there can be no condemnation. If you have sin, you're going to be condemned. And the reason we're not condemned is because he's washed our sins away in his precious blood. Paul also declares in chapter 8 that we as believers, we don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's before there is Spirit, when we're just natural men who perceive not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned, we're just dead flesh. And we walk after the flesh. We always do those things that our flesh dictates unto us. That's the bondage that we live in by nature. But when we have the Spirit of God, we don't just walk after flesh and spirit equally. It's not that we used to be flesh and now walk after the flesh only, and now we walk after the flesh and the spirit. No, we don't walk after the flesh, we walk after the spirit. We still have flesh. The flesh still affects everything we do. But we walk after the Spirit. You see that? We don't walk after both. We walk after the Spirit. Our Lord says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And not that way. Free also from the dominion, the authority, the power of sin. Read Romans 6:14 concerning that if you want to look at it later. And thank God for this marvelous truth. The Son's made us free indeed now. verse 3 of Romans 8, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, this is beautiful language, my friends. This tells you what you are. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, this is what you are and why. Because Christ accomplished it for you. The law can't do it now. Romans chapter 11. God's chosen with every advantage, outward advantage a sinner can have in this world, people, in an earthly sense, the Jews, they did not obtain righteousness because they sought it not by faith, but they sought it by the works of the law. The law can't do it. What the law could not do. The law can show you how wretched you are, but it can't help you. It can't do anything about it. No, the law is not given for that. The law is given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. The law is not given so that you could have no condemnation, but so that the condemnation would come upon you. Guilty. That you would acknowledge your guilt before God. Because you're not going to have no condemnation until you feel the weight of that condemnation of the law of God. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ in that way. The law is given that everybody would shut up and acknowledge their guilt. I'm condemned. And until you can say I'm condemned, you're not ever going to say no condemnation. And this is just clear and beautiful gospel truth. What could not be accomplished for God's people by any obedience on their part, by all obedience on their part? God sent his Son down here to accomplish it for them. For them. Notice that it's not a flaw in God's law that renders it unable to do for us what we need. It is unable, why? Because of the flesh. Verse 3, because of the flesh. It's not a problem with the law. It's the weakness of your flesh. We can't measure up to the law. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The weakness or powerlessness is through or because of our flesh. The law is good and perfect and right. Romans 7 again. But it cannot save us because only those who obey that law perfectly are blessed. That ain't you. We are cursed. We are under the curse of the law. That's why he was made a curse for us, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. But if only those who are perfect are blessed, then nobody's blessed. Not true. Christ came and did what we couldn't. He is blessed, and so all those who are in him are blessed. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not save us apart from the law. He didn't do away with his law. Paul said, we don't destroy the law by preaching the gospel. We fulfill it. Only Christ fulfilled it, and Christ is the gospel. He didn't do away with the law, but he rendered to the law what we couldn't render. Perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed. Perfect, sinless. He condemned sin in the flesh, that is, as a man. Think about this. He condemned sin in the flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He looked just like a sinner. In the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. And he came for sin. He came to die for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he condemned sin in the flesh. How did he condemn sin? In the flesh. As a man, he condemned sin. As God, he condemned sin because he's God. He's holy. But how did he do it as a man? By not committing any of it. by just absolutely denying it, by abhorring it, by despising it, by rejecting it, and by paying for it. He condemned my sin as a man. And this is what is required in perfection. You have to be the Son of God in order to live up to the law of God, to complete the law of God. And that's why it's so absurd for men to think that offering anything to God, anything that they've done, whether it be a service or a decision or anything we've ever thought or promises, you know, oh Lord, from now on, really? When we presume to do anything that in and of itself is imagined to be pleasing unto God, we insult Him. But not only that, it's worse than that. It's an insult to His holy law, but it is also a trampling under our filthy feet the precious blood of His Son. It is to say to God, I don't need Christ and His blood. I can do well on my own. Thank you very much. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood expressly because we are unable to please God. Christ condemned sin in the flesh by paying the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death, and He paid that price. And listen to Philippians 2:8, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He not only did for us as our representative what we couldn't do, what we couldn't accomplish by the law, by the deeds of the law, but He paid for what we did do. And what we're doing this morning, He got to pay for it. He had to pay for it. And what we're going to do tomorrow, He had to pay for it. If we're His, He paid for it. It's already paid for. My sin is condemned, but not me. You see the word condemned in these first four verses, how it's used those two times? No condemnation to them, but their sin is condemned instead. May God use us to deliver this message of free justification through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3. We are justified freely by His grace. No reason in you, simply because God is gracious, where our sin abounded. How can there be no condemnation to me, Chris? Your sin abounds. Because His grace did much more abound. That's how. Freely justified by His grace. Well, how can God do that? He can't just say, you're holy and you're not. Well, it's through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. By the precious blood of Christ, He not only can say you're holy, He does. And He sees that you are. You know, a lot of people talk about this as though we really are sinful, but God doesn't see us that way. What's really true is what God sees. What we see is what's not true. You see me as a sinner. You know what? You're wrong. When we're talking about the justification that we have in Christ Jesus, you're wrong. You see me as a wretch. And I am a wretch in myself, but I'm not in myself. I'm in Christ Jesus. And there's no condemnation for me. The very righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. You see that in our text, in verse 4? It's fulfilled by Him, but it's fulfilled in me. It's my, the righteousness of the law is mine. I own it. I am it. Is that good grammar? I am it. He was made sin. Why? So we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's our words from verse 1. In Christ Jesus. I am it. I am the righteousness of God. It's fulfilled in me by Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory. We are righteous on the law's own terms because of Him. And it's so not by what we've done in relation to God's law. We've done nothing but break it. Even when we keep it, we're breaking it. But this is accomplished by Him. God sent His Son to do it. God's righteousness is not fulfilled in us by our walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, though we do. The text declares that we walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit because He condemned sin in my flesh and fulfilled righteousness in me and for me. Notice the words for in verses 2 and 3. Because, instead of for there, read the word because that's what it means. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The sin has no claim upon me. The law does. For what the law could not do, because what the law could not do. Why am I not condemned? Because I'm free from the law. Why am I free from the law? Because God sent His Son. You see that? And He condemned my sin as a man. I want to close just by quoting one verse of Scripture. You know what does all this mean? Jonah said in verse 9 of chapter 2, the book of Jonah, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. May we indeed thank Him, as Paul did in chapter 7. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ my Lord, I'm delivered from the body of this death. And that's how. Right there. Because He came and did what I couldn't and paid for what I did. Let's pray.